Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
Get you on the radio, yeah, you gotta get on the radio.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is our Wednesday midweek special. This is where we're going to talk about subjects that maybe we didn't get a chance to dive into on the radio. Well, thanks for tuning in. This is going to be a fun show. This little podcast here is going to be about this week, affordable housing. And this is going to be my little rant on affordable housing and where I stand on it. And I'd love to get your comments in the comments section on Facebook when I post it up on Around the House with Eric G. Or like and follow this on SoundCloud, iTunes, anywhere else. Love to get your feedback on our social media pages because we want to have an honest discussion. And there's a lot of different answers for this, but I want to get everybody included in this conversation. So here's one of the problems I see with our affordable housing up here, and it's not affordable housing. It's getting really expensive here in the Northwest. When you see double-digit increases every year, it's getting hard for people that are working to afford a house, and I get that. Some of the problems we have, though, goes right in the face of the people that we call urban planners, because urban planning is the game plan of how we're going to develop out these cities. The problem with that is we end up having developers, basically, and city planners that decided that we're going to actually start changing our city into a more European business landscape. So housing is going to be high-rises, housing is going to be townhomes, it's going to be very dense inner city type stuff. So what happens is you lose your character, you lose your 1920s homes, you lose all these little things. Because they get torn down so you can put bigger complexes in. So what happens is you now pay for that. And when you pay for that, you really pay for that. Because now they're trying to get people out of cars. That's what they're trying to do. And they want to get people on mass transit. They want to get the bikes out there. Look what they're doing in Portland on Foster Road, for instance. They're taking it a very busy four-lane street and making it a two-lane street to put the big bike pass in there. Problem is when they do that, it's going to put all those cars that are going to get backed up, because it gets backed up as it is anyway, onto the other streets, and I think it's going to make for less safe neighborhoods, and that's going to be a big problem. But that's the plan. Look at Seattle. Seattle's a great model for all of us in Portland down here. If you look up there and look what's happened up there, we're following the same exact plan. So when you start getting into certain areas, you won't even recognize it if you've been in there in the last 5 years. You go into some of the different neighborhoods. You'll go in there and go, oh man, I love those old stores and all of that stuff. You go down there and they're all gone. It's just all brand new concrete mixed-use buildings. There's no parking. You can't get there. And guess what? All that beautiful character that was 50 or 100 years old has been hauled off to the landfill. That's where we run into some of these problems. And that's where I have a kind of an issue with it. I like the character of the Northwest. I love our architecture. I like the mixed different styles. It's what makes it kind of beautiful to me. Putting in brand new concrete and glass buildings does not do that for me. So that's our first problem. And that's going to change, especially when we've got tolls coming on the freeways that they've been talking about. Guess what? That's not making things affordable for people. That's making people that are on the higher incomes will be on the freeways. And basically the people that are on the lower income or the middle class won't be on the freeways. They'll be driving through the streets not having that luxury. So that's some of the problems we're going to run into. And we got to keep an eye on that stuff. So the European model is what they're shooting for. If you don't like it, put somebody else different in office, but that's the direction we're heading. Now, here's the other big thing that happens when we're talking about, well, urban planning and what we've got going on here. When you're talking about building a house, so let's say you've got in a neighborhood in Portland, we'll just grab Portland here because it's a good example, and there's been some big changes that are going to fix this. Well, fix it and make it more expensive. So here's what's happening. So you've got, you go to build a house, you could have, depending on where you're at and what city you're at, but you can have $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in development fees, depending on what you're trying to build. Those are fees that you pay at the time of permitting that go to the city to do what you want to do to the property. And I get that. You need to have some kind of a fee to do it, but that gets really expensive, especially when you're trying to build affordable housing. If you just spent $200,000 on a house that needs to be torn down, so now you're going to add $40,000 or $50,000 or even $30,000 onto it, okay, you added there. But wait, there's more. Now you got to get into demolition fees. So let's say this house is not fixable. It's had damage. It's had homeless people squatting in there. They've had some fires inside. It's a mess. Too expensive to fix it. Well, here's the problem. Now it used to be a $15,000 demo, and I get that we have to do this. Don't get me wrong. I want people to have the lead paint and the asbestos under control. But what happens is when they come in there now with the new laws, they have to deconstruct that house and take all the lead paint out of it, and they have to take out all the asbestos. You've got to get rid of all that. Then it can get torn down. So what happens? Now you've got a $60,000 demo. But wait a minute, I just paid $40,000 for my development fees. Okay, so you just have $100,000 on top of that, well, nasty old house in the neighborhood with the knee-high grass to get that thing, and I haven't even started to build the place yet. So, next problem, labor. People out there working in the trades are getting a pretty decent affordable wage right now because there's such a shortage. Contractors and builders are trying to keep good people on board, so they have to pay them more and more and more. But what happens? Your project costs more and more and more. That's an issue. So what do we do about it? It goes back to our school districts. We need to make sure that they know how to put trades back in schools. I don't know. I was really disappointed when I put my kids, when they first moved to the Portland area in the Lake Oswego School District. Asked them where the wood shop was. Oh, the computer lab's in there. Where was the automotive shop? Oh, that's more science labs. Oh, so we're not teaching the kids the trades at all here. That happens all over the place. Those wood shops, those classes are gone. There are a few school districts out there that are doing it, but that needs to be back in every single school again. We need to start teaching people the trades, because guess what? That's part of our problem with affordable housing, is that our schools have dropped the ball on getting these kids taken care of and getting them an education. They went into the what I call the big business of college education. What's the big business of college education? Push everybody out, send everybody to college so the colleges can make their money. That is a big business model, and don't get me started on that, because guess what? That is no other that's just another big corporation out there. And guess what? We've let them twist that into our kids' educations or in the trades, the lack of. We got to fix that here and get kids taken care of. It would solve a lot of problems out there. It would also mean even more affordable housing, because we're going to be able to get people in jobs. We'll get them better jobs. And guess what? They can afford better homes and get out of those low-end apartments and get up into a single-family residence where they can be a little bit more comfortable and enjoy things and live a better life. And they'll be doing a better job of taking care of themselves. So that's a great thing. One thing that's huge right now, material costs. I was looking at framing lumber, up 20%, 27% this last year. When you got a 27% increase in lumber, a lot of lumber goes into a house. That adds up. That puts another surcharge right on top of that. Why is that? We got a lot of beautiful trees here in the Northwest that could be logged, but guess what? It's all coming out of Canada. So you've got the Canadian lumber coming down here, 27% more. What happened to our own sawmills? We let them close up. All those little towns that were sawmill towns, guess what? Those sawmills are closed down in many cases and not doing anything. Those could be more jobs, could be nice mill jobs where people are making pretty good money. But we've kind of outsourced that to Canada, and now we're paying the price for that, and it's costing us a lot more money than if we had it coming from here in the Northwest. So again, that's another one of those issues that's adding to it. Well, with material prices going up, we've also got, well, one of the biggest things, shipping. There's a truck driver shortage. So now you got materials waiting extra week, 2 weeks to get across country. Gas prices are up. You've got huge increases in shipping out there. I'm seeing it trying to get cabinets out from the Midwest out to the West Coast. You run into shipping shortages. I've had stuff missed by a week or two. There wasn't a truck to put it on. So that adds up. Now, rules and regulations. all these rules and regulations you got to follow. You know, there's no grandfathering in many situations in building code out there. So if you're trying to remodel something instead of tearing it down, you might have a six-figure fix just to get somebody's bad decision 40 or 50 years ago when they didn't pull a permit on that little porch addition or that second story addition. There's some expensive fixes that you have to do to get it up to speed. And that's not even getting into the new earthquake regulations that might be happening out there as well. So a lot of these different things are adding to the price of housing. But we have supply and demand, which is just we need more available land to build on, which to me says they probably need to take a look at that urban growth boundary and get that going again. And then maybe taking a look at some of these areas where we haven't built any homes in that are unused industrial areas and things. Maybe there's some zoning changes we can do there, as well as maybe fitting in a few more homes here and there to do that. But nobody's taking advantage of those situations. They're just letting it sit and complaining about it. So we've got to get, well, city governments to dive in and take on those issues. So what can we do for affordable housing? We need to train some kids how to do the trades out there, get them going, get them into a great career. We need to talk to our city officials because guess what? They've been running the show this whole time. We got to hold them accountable. And they're the ones that are running the affordable housing game, and they've got to get it dialed in. Otherwise, look at Seattle. If you're in Portland, guess what? We're heading that direction unless something is done differently. Seattle, you're still climbing. You're still getting expensive. So what is going to hit the brakes on this? Well, we're going to have a correction at some point. We always do. But when we do, I don't think it's enough that's going to fix the issue here. And then you're going to have a lot of people with very expensive home prices that they bought their house on with lower values. And there's a lot of people that get upside down in their homes. And that's another unaffordability issue that we're going to get caught with. It's going to happen. How we deal with it? We're going to find out. It's on the horizon. Well, thanks for listening to my Wednesday rant here on Around the House. This is, thanks for taking a peek at this. Had a really great response last week, so we're going to keep going at this. Tune in each Saturday from noon to 2, where once again, we talk about home improvement. We take your calls, and we're going to have a great time with some great subjects. I'm not going to tell you what next week's show is because I'm going to put it on the video tees up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. And if you want to see all my Morga de Oregon videos and all that other stuff, you can also find me at aroundthehouseonline.com. If you want to send me an email, ath@kxl.com. And always love to get your feedback on Around the House with Eric G on Facebook, as well as take a look at our new page we've got. It's a closed group page. So sign up, take a peek at it. It's always free like that, but we've got great projects on Around the House Nation. All right, see you on Saturday.
Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. If you want to reach the smartest listening audience of homeowners and contractors without competing with those crazy political ads, head to aroundthehouseonline.com and contact me personally for more information. That's aroundthehouseonline.com.